Good morning. That's how you do it, Trevor. I didn't mean to be separatist. When I was getting ready for the service, Phil said I could sit anywhere I wanted over there. I didn't know you started on this side and filled up on going across. It's a privilege to be here to speak with you this morning. I've been commissioned by the board of Northland Bible Camp to visit the area chapels and to give them an update and to request their support and participation in the goings-on at camp. Now, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir here. I'm going to give a brief history of Northland and what we're endeavoring to do. And as I look out, there's others that are eminently more qualified than I to speak to this, but bear with me. In the opening, Trevor spoke of passion and how hockey season is coming upon us, and everybody is not shy to declare their passion for their hockey team. I still cheer for the Leafs, even though Cousin Wendell has retired. And I was going to say twin brother, but some of you might be able to do math. But we can justify why we cheer for a team. Myself for the Leafs, I can remember when they won a cup. Even though I was in diapers, and my son reminded me that when they win again, I'd probably be in diapers. But Trevor tried to carry that over into our passion for Christ. Are we reluctant to wear our team jersey, to tell people why this is the greatest team that we play on or that we're part of, that we cheer for, that we have a passion for? And in that regard as well, I have a passion for Northland Bible Camp. Many of us have attended, or at least know of it, and it's been an integral part of my life since 1970. That is where I met Carol, my wife, and we spent a few summers there as young people, and then spent a few more summers as a young family, and we have continued to be able to serve in various capacities over the years. I wanted to start with, like I said, a brief history. Northland started in 1970 at Gibson Lake. I thought it was a rented facility, but it was a borrowed facility or donated. And it was actually at those first sessions that Northlandia, our camp anthem, was written. It was a successful camp season. At the end of the season, when the bills were paid and the books were tallied, I thought it was a balance of over a dollar, but upon rereading of Mr. Donaldson's book, there was, I think it was near $3 that was in the bank. So they took that as a confirmation, and they endeavored to look for a permanent home for Northland Bible Camp. Mr. Donaldson was directed to Butler Lake, and it's there that it stands today. Chester and Marion, as many know, are graduates from Emmaus Bible School, which was in Toronto at that time. And upon coming north, they have lived in Iroquois Falls and Matheson and Timmins, and now in South Porcupine. They were the driving force behind Northland and the patriarchs, if you will. My grandmother told a story that back when they were new to this country, they came up that there was a couple of young preachers that came up. And one, she took him aside, or so her rendition goes, and told him that he should go back down south and marry that girl. Now, by that girl, I'm assuming he must have been talking about her and missing her. And sure enough, he did, and they came back north, and we're glad to see that. Construction for a camp started in the spring of 58. Perhaps through the winter, preparations were made, but construction started. And if I have my facts right, there were 6 cabins built that first year. 4 camper cabins, the dining hall, and the Eagle's Nest, the home for the Donaldsons, and now the camp manager for the summer. Now, Mr. Donaldson, or Chester, as he worked on there, he had the benefit of cordless tools, as we do today. They might have been a little bit different back then, but as I thought about this task that he had, building these 6 cabins, we have, as you have just finished, the workers here at BFA finished the otter slide this year. Iroquois Falls endeavored to build a cabin to start. We did the bear den, and we had it ready for the start of camp season. We went in the spring and started, and it was ready for the start of the camp season, as I said. Well, I think we had 10, maybe 15 minutes to spare, and that was a crew of half a dozen guys or so working whenever we could, weekends and evenings and such. That was one cabin. And when I think of the task of putting up 6 cabins, including the dining hall, that's a monumental task. But with the Lord's help, it was done. Camp has grown continually from that time. And we have, I was going to say 29 structures at present, but 3 have been taken down this fall, and there's going to be 2 to replace those. So we've taken down the Greenwood Manor, and that's the thrust of our information this morning, is to tell you what's going on there. We've taken it down, and we're building in roughly the same location. And with a slight move of the manor, a few feet, we've had to take down the tuck shop, and it will be relocated to where the deer lodge was. And that necessitated the removal of the deer lodge, which was near or at the end of its life anyway. So those 3 cabins have been taken down. The tuck shop hopefully will be rebuilt this fall, time and resources permitting, and the manor will see completion in the spring. But with the growth of camp, we have 8 camper cabins, the Greenwood Manor, which is being replaced and was originally built in, I believe it was 1961, and staff cabins have been added over the years, and equipment and the garage and whatnot. We can house 64 campers, and we have had in the neighborhood of 40 staff. I think the most we've had is near 120 at one session. So we have grown to the capacity of our facility. As far as the Greenwood Manor goes, for the chapel or the auditorium, if you will, and the kitchen, dining hall, that's about what we can handle. When we, as a board, started looking at the Greenwood Manor, realizing that it would be drawing near to the end of its life, being 50 years old. We had a good look at it this spring and decided that it was time to act. But the board had been thinking about this for a while and praying about it, and there was two concerns. One with the physical structure, and the other was that it was our chapel building, but it also served as a play area when the weather was bad, and there was games in there, game tables. So it wasn't really conducive to a spiritual mindset when you're at the back playing ping pong or air hockey or whatever, and then you just walk a matter of a few feet and you're supposed to be turning your attention to the Lord. So we thought it would be prudent to separate these. And with the new manor, we'll have a separate games room for now. And then the auditorium will just be for chapel or for that type of activity. Through the years, the main focus or the thrust, the purpose of Northland Bible Camp has been to spread the gospel, to minister to the children and to those that are serving there. So we wanted to have the spiritual aspect of Northland Bible Camp as our paramount purpose and have it very evident. We had looked at trying to preserve some of the Greenwood Manor and, you know, the big beams, the trusses that were in it, and the fireplace, two aspects that to some of us older people remind us or mean the Greenwood Manor for us. But with the change in location, even though it was just a few feet, the fireplace was not possible. And one of the reasons we were taking the Greenwood down was because of the condition of the trusses. And even to try to incorporate them in an aesthetic role proved to be too much of a challenge. So unfortunately, those original features will not be reused, although there is some plans to pay tribute, if you will, in some manner. I mentioned the use of the Greenwood Manor, or the purpose, why that building was there. Primarily it was our chapel, or is and will be our chapel. It was an auditorium for presentations. We've had skits at the various sessions and plays. We've even had a few musicals in there. I remember one that the youth camp put on, and I was allowed to be a prop in that musical. And there's been some big productions. It's, as I mentioned, a play area when the weather's bad outside. And for that reason, we believe that its life was shortened when you get 50 junior boys in there for an afternoon when the weather's bad and they're playing and roughhousing. It can be taxing on a structure. So with that in mind, our goal as a board is to erect a new Greenwood Manor. And in the short term, it will serve that same purpose when the weather's bad. But we are looking to build a recreational facility, a gym or a play structure of some kind, to get that activity out of the manor so that its sole purpose will be spiritual, on a spiritual level. As I said, it was served as a games room. The tuck shop was housed in there for a while. We've had registration in the Greenwood Manor. It was the venue for the Northern Ontario Conference for a number of years on the long weekend in August before that was moved to Matheson and to the weekend in September. It has served as winter storage for waterfront equipment, and we've even had a couple of weddings take place at the in the Greenwood Manor, take place at camp, and happen in there. We don't have a finished set of drawings. Pierre, one of the fellows from the board, is working on a set, and they're near completion. But without that, we don't have an accurate cost. But we are anticipating that it'll be over $100,000, and you know, perhaps 150, but in that neighborhood. Now, with you just having completed the otter slide, you're well aware of the cost of construction, and I believe that cabin came in around $22,000-$23,000, and we're looking to the Lord for leading in this matter for the manor. There has been some monies come in, and this is not a commercial or a plea, but a plea for money, but more a plea for your support, particularly your support in prayer. We, as a board, and myself personally, I am looking to the Lord for leading in this, and I'm just waiting to be surprised and amazed at where the funds come from. When we were initially thinking of and starting the preliminary plans for this, I was at the men's conference in Guelph and was approached by a fellow that a young fellow that has a company in Southern Ontario, and they're in the habit of tithing a percentage of their profits for the year to the Lord's ministry. And we were approached about the needs at Northland Bible Camp. And we felt that was the seal of approval, or, you know, confirmation from the Lord. And we went ahead. There have been others coming forward as well. So we have that before us. We have taken a step of faith. We have gone past the point of no return. If you have been to camp in the past 24 hours, there's a nice view of the playing field from the top of the hill where the manor used to be. So we're moving ahead in that regard. Now, I wanted to speak to you about what Northland has meant to me over the years. Like I said, I started attending in 1970 when I was in junior boys, and have continued through the different sessions, and was able to go to family camp as a family, and now we don't have grandparents camp, but I'm eligible for that club now. Just on that note, for those of you that know our family, Carol is not with me today because she is down in Prince Edward Island with our daughter, who has just given birth to our fifth granddaughter, Emma Caroline. And she was down for the birth on the 6th of September. And she'll be coming home shortly. But as a way of, as update, that's what's happening in our family. And we look forward to having those little ones at camp. Joshua, our youngest, has been able to serve at camp for the last number of years. And Jeremy, our oldest son, our middle child, has brought his family to family camp, his wife and two girls, for the past 3 years. And Beverly and her little family have been able to join us, I think, on one occasion for family camp. We all were together, so it's continuing to play a large part in my life and the lives of my family. And as the family extends, I hope to see those young ones spending time at Northland. I would be happy to see them spend time at a Bible camp, but I would be thrilled to see them spend time at Northland Bible camp. The last time I was here, I spoke, or mentioned one passage in Philippians chapter 4. And it was, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. When I was at camp, as a youngster, I accepted the Lord at about 9 years of age. And then, as is typical, perhaps, at a rebellious teen period, but there was still a draw to camp and still a peace that I experienced there. And even through young adulthood, the time at camp was so special to us. When we can pull apart from the world, and even for a week, and spend time surrounded by Christians and feel that love. Everyone that is at camp cares for everyone else. It's not just a club that we belong to, that we pay our dues and everyone acts like they care for us and the session's over and they're gone. But the friendships that we forge there, the connection that we have, not because of Northland Bible Camp, but because of Christ who died for us. And the songs in the opening, we talked of or sang of what Christ has done for us, the sacrifice he made. When we think of the sacrifices made at camp, the time and energy that has been spent building the cabins, now replacing the cabins, time spent serving others in the kitchen or counseling, directing, those are all sacrifices to some degree, although they're not a costly sacrifice. We get back much more than we put in, for myself anyways. But the sacrifice of Christ as he left glory. In eternity past, he was with God the Father in glory, in heaven. And he left all of that to come down to earth. Not to come down as a prince or as a champion, as the Messiah, as the Jewish people were hoping for a Messiah, to save them from the tyranny of Rome, but as he came down, a lowly servant. There's the example for us. He came down as a servant. If Christ can serve, if Jesus of heaven can serve, we can serve. It's not above us. And through Christ, all things are possible. We might think that we don't have the skill set. And honestly, I don't have the skill set to be up here, to serve at camp, or to do any number of things that the Lord has drawn me to. But he gives me the strength, he gives me the ability, gives me the resources to serve him in that way. So please, as you contemplate your participation at camp, don't limit yourself. Be amazed at how God gives you the resources, gives you what you need, when you need it. Not a long time before, perhaps, but in time, and it's there. As I mentioned, Carol and I met at Northland, and that's where our romance started. And I thank God for bringing her into my life, because without her, without Northland introducing us, I don't know where I would be today. It's her her strength and her conviction, her steadfastness that has served me well over the years. And as we embark on grandparenthood, now 5 strong and 4 years into it, we strive to be that witness to those children, to those precious young souls. And we look for opportunities to serve Him, to gather those little ones to Him. Now, I mentioned the last time I was here, we looked at Philippians, and it was in the context of the peace that I had with what God had brought me to. It was ...16 years and 11 months ago on Friday. We had Friday the 13th, and it was October, Friday the 13th, when I was lying on an operating table, and I heard the surgeon say it was malignant lymphoma. And the weight that settled on me, the smothering weight, was indescribable as it settled on me, the knowledge that, yes, this was cancer. I had been in the hospital for a week or so and various symptoms, and we didn't know what was going on, and I really hadn't thought it was that serious. But when that diagnosis came, and it wasn't really directed at me, I overheard it. I describe it as a tremendous weight, a heavy blanket being lowered on me that almost suffocated me. But as it lowered onto me, and I felt that suffocation, that weight, it seemed to keep going and passed right through me. And from that time on, I had that peace that passeth all understanding. They had a psychiatrist come to see me and say, you know, you've been diagnosed with cancer. How does that make you feel? Well, I shared with her that I was a born-again Christian, and if God was calling me home, if I was going to die, I was going to heaven. And that was good. And if God, in His mercy, was going to heal me, then I would get to spend more time with my young family and live to see grandchildren. And that was a good thing. And her response was, how does that make you feel? Well, I went over it again. How do you think it makes me feel? I'm in a win-win situation. I don't know if they fully appreciated, but they did up my medication. Mentioned earlier about hockey and our passion. I cheer for Toronto. When I first went to Toronto, I couldn't walk, I couldn't talk, and I didn't have any hair. And then after a year or so, I began to be able to walk, and speech was coming. And when I turned 2, we moved up north. And when I revisited Toronto some number of years ago, there was a period of time where I could barely walk and I didn't have any hair on my head. So Toronto has a place in my heart. I don't know if it should be a good place because it's... I was born in Toronto. But Carol comes from Toronto, so I guess that's the soft spot I have for it. Let's wear our team jersey. Let's have our passion on our sleeve. We are Christians, and they'll know we are Christians by our love. Exhibit our love, show it to other Christians, but not just to other Christians. Show it to the world. We have the example of Christ. He loves sinners. He doesn't love the sin, doesn't love their activities or their shortcomings, as he doesn't love ours, but he loves us, loves the individual. So let's endeavor to show that and invite others, invite the unsaved to know this wonderful, wonderful Savior that we have, and bring them to camp. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we look to you this morning, and we thank you for places of sanctuary like Northland, where we can gather with the saints, where we can fellowship, where we can learn more of you, where we can strengthen those bonds. Pray, Father, that you would bless us, that you would continue to bless us. I look forward to being amazed at where your resources come from, because you are my Father that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. And a mere amount of money that we need to purchase materials to erect this facility to continue your ministry is not an obstacle for you. We commit it to you, Father. I ask for those here that they would be supporting us in prayer, and that those that are able would support with their time. And Father, we look forward, as I mentioned, to seeing your resources come in. We thank you for your Son, that precious gift that you gave to us, salvation through him. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Thank you very much.